Sunday evening in our series Basic Training, we began to consider together a thought concerning the needs of every child. Tonight, as we continue through our study together, I want to focus more on the thought of a parent's responsibility and the proper influence on the life of a child. The Bible makes it very clear that we as their parents are responsible to train up our children in the way they should go. So tonight we want to talk about this thought of responsibility and influence in the life of a child. Before we do that though, let's bow together please in a word of prayer, and then we're going to ask the Lord's blessing on our time tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the joy and blessing that is ours to be able to come to gather together, that we might be able to worship again our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able, Lord, tonight to study His Word, to find those truths which can help us in how we live, Lord, especially as it relates to our family, as it relates to the bringing up of our children, for the honor and glory of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we ask and pray this evening that you would teach us and help us. And we'll thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you tonight real quick before we get underway. Is this loud to you? Ben, if you can just slide my mic down, and that'll help, okay? As we tonight look at this concept of parental responsibility, as we begin to look at this thought of what we allow to influence our children, again, we want to understand the importance of our role as parents in the training of our children. Proverbs 22:6 says that we are to train up a child in the way that they should go, that when they are old, they will not depart. We have a responsibility as a parent to help guide them to find God's will for their life and therefore fulfill that will in all that they do. The reality is, though, we are struggling as a culture when it comes to the concept of parenting. And by the way, tonight I'm going to mention a couple resources that would be valuable for you as parents if you do not have them in your library. The first book is a book written by Ted Tripp. It is called Shepherding a Child's Heart. It's a wonderful book that helps us in the process of training. And in the introduction to that book, Ted Tripp makes the following statement. He says, "Our culture has lost its way with respect to parenting. We are a rudderless ship without a compass. We lack both a sense of direction and the capacity to direct ourselves." In the world of parenting today, many have lost sight of the goal, and many struggle in the realm of bringing up their children in the way of the Lord. That is true of our society, and it is true as well of the church. The question that we have to ask ourselves is, how have we gotten to this point? And I think the one answer to that question, how have we gotten to the point that as a society we are a rudderless ship that has lost its direction with no compass, it's very simple. Parents have lost sight of their responsibility as a parent, and we have allowed the wrong people to influence our children. Brother Tripp makes this comment then as well later on. He says, "Many people have children but do not want to be parents. Our culture has convinced them that they need to quench their personal thirst for fulfillment. In a self-absorbed culture, children are a clear liability." And folks, I think that is an accurate statement for many. They are people with children, but they don't necessarily want to be parents in the life of their kids. And as we lament such a state within our culture, we also have to lament the fact that it's true even within the church. As he continues on in that introduction, he says, "Our evangelical culture is nearly as lost as the society at large. We are losing our children. Parents of little children live in mortal fear of adolescence, and parents of teens continue to remind them that their day is coming. We are a culture that has lost direction when it comes to parenting. We are a culture that has people with children that don't want to be parents. They don't want the responsibility that comes of being a parent in the life of a child. And that is true within every aspect of our culture. Now, that is not to say that we are hopeless, but to remind us that there is a proven way to help us in the task of training our children in the way they should go. And the help that we find for parenting is found within the pages of God's Word. God has given us all that we need for life and godliness. He has given us all that we need to be godly parents and raise up a godly generation. One final quote this evening from Tripp. He says, "God's ways have not proved inadequate. They are simply untried. The church mirrors the problems of the culture because we weren't doing biblical parenting in previous generations. We were just doing what worked." And folks, there is a need within the church today. There is a need within our Christian culture to get to biblical parenting. Not simply trying just to make sure things work, but to bring up our children according to the Word of God. And parents need to take responsibility and guard their children from the influences which seek to get them away from the things of God. And folks, remember, Proverbs 22:6, to train up a child means to narrow them. We are not to just to broaden their experiences. We are to narrow them in the way they should go. We have a responsibility to guard them from the influences that seek to distract them and take them away from God. So the question that we want to ask tonight is, what do we as parents today need to do in order to ensure that we are parenting truly God's way? I want you to see a few things with me tonight. They're practical in nature based upon the truth of the Word of God. Number one, as a parent, you must accept your responsibility. As a parent, you must accept your responsibility. You are a parent. And as a parent, you must come to grips with the truth that each child that has been placed in your care by the providence of God is your responsibility and yours alone. God entrusted them to you. God wants you to train them. God wants you to ensure that they go the way that He designs for them. You are not responsible for every child in the world. You are responsible for the children God gave to you. But as a parent, you must accept that responsibility. These children have been entrusted to me by God, and I will do my part to see them go in the ways of the Lord. Why is that so important? Because, folks, we live in a society today, and we live within a church culture today that expects everyone else to take care of our kids but us as parents. And it is our responsibility to train our children. I had the privilege growing up in a church where truth on the family was taught. My pastor, Dr. Alan Griffith, wrote a book a few years back called Parenting, One Chance to Do It Right. It's a good book. It's a worthy read. It's one that we as parents should take the time to consider. One of my favorite parts within that book is a parent or a parental covenant that he places in there, and he encourages every parent to consider it and to accept it as their duty, as their responsibility, and to live according to the covenant. It's their promise as a parent. I want to read this to you in its parts. It's too long for me to be able just to put the whole thing up, so I've broken it down. We'll read it section by section tonight. I want you to hear it because I think it's valuable for us. He begins this parental covenant by saying this: I am responsible. I cannot and will not blame anyone else if this child goes the wrong direction. And if he chooses the right path, I will give all the glory and praise to God. As a parent, you are responsible. And if things fail, the buck stops with you. If your child goes the wrong direction, the buck stops with you. But let's face it, if they turn out right, all praise, honor, and glory, folks, really does belong to God. That's part of a covenant that we can make as a parent, no matter what state we are in right now. He goes on to say, while others may forget to pray for them, I will pray for him every day. When others fail him, and they will, I will be there to encourage him and to help renew a right spiritual perspective in his life. He continues, when he falls, I will be there to lift him up and to get him back on the right path. When he has trouble seeing what the Lord is doing in his life, I will be there to let him see Christ in me with words of assurance that Jesus never fails, but always does things well. The covenant continues. God allowed this child to begin his eternal existence in my family, in my care, in my arms. Under my roof, he will find every reason to put his faith in the living Savior. And then he concludes, he will be trained according to the principles of Scripture. Discipline will not be lacking, but love will be overflowing. And by God's grace, and in that hour when we shall gather on the other side, my child will be there with me as I fall at the feet of my Lord and enter into that eternal day. Now, folks, I realize that's more than we can grasp in just the few moments that we have. But I want you to understand, we as parents have a responsibility. We have a covenant to make with our children. It's a promise that we make. And by the way, can I remind you what a covenant is? It's a promise that one makes. It's a one-sided promise. It says, I will fulfill my duty, no matter if the other person fulfills their duty or not. A contract involves both sides. Both can negate the contract if one fails to live up to their expectation. A covenant is fulfilled no matter what happens on the other side. And as a parent, I need to take a covenant that I will do my part. I will train up my children in the way they should go. I will teach them the truth of God's word, as we looked at in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Whether that be when we sit down or when we walk by the way. But in all things, as a parent, I will understand I am responsible.
Right. Amen.
And folks, if you're a parent tonight, you are. If God entrusted to you with children, you are responsible for their life, spiritually, physically, and in every way. God entrusted them to you. And God doesn't make a mistake. They're your children. And as a parent, you must take responsibility. If I take responsibility That's going to lead me to yet another truth as a parent. I will refuse to blame others. If I am responsible as a parent, and I am, then I have to resist the temptation to blame others if things do not work out right for my kids. If things don't go well for my child, the buck stops with me as a parent. I can't begin to look around to see who else I might be able to blame. And too often we are quick to look for the scapegoat. In our pride, we do not want to admit that we have failed or that our child made a terrible choice in direction. So we look for those people or those persons that we can blame. Now, folks, as we try to train our children, understand something. You have a responsibility as a parent to do your part, which is to train them, to narrow them. Your child has a responsibility to accept that. But if your child does not accept the training that you have given and they go the wrong direction, that is not anyone else's fault. That is not the fault of any person that you can come up with to blame. And there are many people that we try to blame. We try at times to blame the church. Well, if the church would have done more for my kids, they wouldn't be where they are today. We blame its various programs. Well, you know, they had a good start. They had a good Sunday school program. And we had Awana, but then we switched to that Master Clubs. I don't think that did as good for my kids as Awana would have done. And then they went into youth group, and things kind of really just fell apart in youth group. So I think it's the fault of the program where we put our kids in the Christian school, and that really didn't turn out well for them. And so we begin to blame the various programs or the ministries of the church. When that doesn't work, we begin to blame the various servants who minister to them. Well, you know, that pastor that we had, that really was his fault. He hurt my child. He did things that could have been better. And if he wasn't there, boy, things would have been a whole lot better. That Christian school teacher, that Sunday school teacher, I can't believe that happened in their life. And, oh, that just messed up my child. We look to blame everyone else. Folks, people are going to let your child down. They will fail your kids. I will fail your kids. And you will fail mine. But it's my job as a parent to help them deal with those trials and difficulties when others fail. Sometimes when we just don't think we can make it stick to the church, its programs, or its servants, we simply say society at large is to blame. I mean, really, how do you expect us to be able to raise up a godly generation in such a vile and wicked world all around us? It's just too hard. It can't be done. Too many temptations. Too many things that can draw them away. It's all this technology that we have. If technology didn't come in, we'd have been just fine. We'd have raised our kids fine. But society brought all that in, and there's the problem. Folks, listen. As a parent, you are responsible, and you can't blame anyone else if things go wrong. Because you're responsible to train them to walk in the ways of the Lord. The buck stops with you. Now, folks, here's what that means. God has entrusted to my wife and I 5 kids. And for all 5 of those children, I as a father, as the husband, as the leader of our home, am responsible for how they turn out. I'm responsible to train them in the way they should go. I'm responsible to be with them and walk them through the failures of life. I'm to be there to help them walk through the trials. I am there to teach them the truth of God's word and to encourage them in the way they should go. I am there to remove those evil influences from their life that they are narrowed to go and hit the target that God has designed for them. And if there is a failure in our home, I'm not going to look to someone else to blame. I'm going to look at me. And I'm going to say the failure was mine. I'm going to look at our family and say that's where the issue lies. Dr. Griffith in his book writes and says, if parents face the fact that they can blame no one else, they will get more serious about the obligation associated with bringing up a child in this world. And I think there's some truth to that. We as a church at large are looking to everyone else to do our part in training our children. If I just put them into Sunday school, I don't have to be their parent. If I put them into Christian school, they'll be okay. If they're in youth group, then I don't have to worry about dealing with that Monday through Friday, because you know what? I'm really busy and I don't have time. I've got my career to worry about. But you know what? It's not the school's responsibility. It's not the church's responsibility. It's not society's responsibility to raise your children. It's yours. Take it serious. You're responsible for your children. We must accept that responsibility and not look to shift the blame to others. Folks, when you look at the Word of God and you look at the challenges that are there related to children, it is not addressed to the church. It is not addressed to education. It is addressed to families. And quite frankly, men, it is often addressed to us as fathers. We need to take that responsibility seriously. Next, how do we ensure they turn out the way they should go? We ought to pray for our children. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6 reminds us, it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Mom and Dad, it is not in your strength, it is not in your wisdom that your children will turn out to be faithful servants of the Lord. In fact, one of the problems in parenting is we are imperfect parents trying to bring up imperfect children. But God is perfect. His word is true. There is no error. There is no falsehood in it. I need to rely on God and I need to be praying for my children. I need to be bringing them before the throne of grace. As parents, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to make wrong judgments. We're going to make wrong choices. But the best thing that I can do for my children is pray for them. I've reminded our youth as of late in Sunday school, we're going through a study of the book of Proverbs, and as we go through a study of the book of Proverbs, we're doing it because Proverbs tells us how to have wisdom. Do you realize that some of the biggest decisions a person ever makes, they make in their youth? Why don't you think about that for a moment? Some of the biggest choices and decisions, mom and dad, that your child will make in their life that will have a profound impact on the rest of their life, their adult life, are made as a youth. What direction will they go? What career will they choose? What college will they get their training from? Who will they marry? Those are massive, life-altering decisions. And they're made when they have zero life experience. So how do we know that they're going to have the wisdom to make that kind of choice? I'm going to accept my responsibility. I'll blame no one. And I will pray for them and direct them according to the Word of God. I'm going to throw out a thought tonight. It's a seed thought for our parents. When I think about some of those decisions that our children make, one of the biggest choices that they make, and it will have a profound impact on your child. Because a lot of things will be associated with this choice revolves around where they will be trained for the career that they choose. College is one of the biggest choices that a child makes. At college, it's the first time that they're going to be out on their own. And it's at college that they will determine what their convictions will be and what philosophies they will adopt. If you understand the development of a child, you understand that when they're young, they live in what we call an age of concretes. They are very pleased with the concept of authority. Do this because I say so, because they relate to that, they understand that. As they become a teenager, we have what we call an age of counsel. That's because they begin to ask questions for the first time about the concretes they were given. See, a young child never really struggles with this thought. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's right, Jesus loves me. They accept it. Why? Because the authority said, Jesus loves you. They believe it. A child doesn't struggle with the thought that every day we ought to get up on Sunday and we ought to go to church and we should go to Sunday school Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And we should read our Bible. Why? Because the authority said so and they're happy with that. But when they become a teenager, something happens in their life. A little switch goes off in their mind. It's developmental. It's at a different stage, a different age for each one. But for the first time in their life, they're able to reason through things and think like an adult. So they begin to ask this very simple question, why? Most of us assume that's rebellion as soon as they ask that question, why? It's really not. It's an inquisitive question, and it needs to be handled by the Word of God. Why do I have to go to church every week? Stop rebelling and get in the car. Know why we answer that way? Because we'd have no clue why we go to church every week. And we cannot give a biblical answer why somebody who calls themselves a Christian ought to go to church to all these services. Why can't we just go once a week? My friends do. Stop being a rebel. Get in the car. No, we need to counsel them. Why do I need to counsel them from God's word? Because there's a day coming, folks, that they have to stand on their own two feet and make a conviction. And that's where we lose them. And we lose them because we allow the wrong people to influence them at the wrong time. And we allow the wrong people to influence them for too long a time in their lives. If you're bringing up children today, you ought to teach them the concretes and you ought to drive them into their heart. If you have teenagers tonight, you ought to be working to counsel them through and help them understand why we do what we do. It's so important to learn to be able to think through an issue biblically and handle it according to the Word of God. Because, folks, there's a day you're going to send them out of your home and they're going to have to be able to make their own choices. We have more to say about those influences later. But I want to return back to the thought, pray for them. Folks, your child needs the grace of God in his or her life. And if you who love them more than anyone else doesn't pray for them, who else is going to? Well, I expect that the pastor will pray for them. Well, the pastor does pray for them. But he's not going to pray for them the way you can pray for them. Well, I bet the school teachers and Sunday school teachers pray for them every day. They may not, but you certainly can pray for them. Here's the next one. Lower your expectations of others. Folks, it is a wonderful blessing to have others in our family's life. Others who can influence them and help them in their spiritual walk in journey. Matter of fact, I think it's a good thing. I'm thankful for those opportunities that others have to influence my children in the right way. In fact, there are times that I try hard to kind of stay out of their way a little bit. It's a little easy for my kids to kind of get wrapped up that dad is everywhere. And sometimes, you know what, it's good for them to be under the influence of another. Some parents want to say, don't want anyone to ever have an influence on our kids' lives. I don't think that's the way to go either. But I think we ought to lower our expectations of what those other people might be able to do. Dad, it is your responsibility, according to the Word of God, to bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You need to make sure they turn out right. You need to teach them and train them. But the Bible does seem to give the place for others to benefit the lives of our children and influence them. In the Old Testament, folks, God established the temple, and children were brought to the temple to be influenced by the priest and others. In the New Testament, He created this place called the church. And those are great institutions. But remember, others will fail your child. That's not something we can prevent. But if handled properly and biblically, we can help our children grow through such an experience. Here's what Dr. Griffith says again in his book. He says this: parents must be prepared to walk with their children through the difficult times when others fail them or seemingly treat them unfairly. The less we expect from others, the less our disappointment when they fail, and the greater our joy and appreciation when they minister effectively. Folks, just understand, as you put your children in the hands of others, they're not going to do everything the way you would. They will fail. Help your child through that. We don't need to be mean and nasty and critical to those who fail them. Life is at times difficult and it is hard, but help them to face those things biblically. Accept your responsibilities, appreciate those who help, and don't blame others when they fail. That leads me to the final thought I want you to see with me tonight. As a parent, we need to protect them from wrong influences. Of all the things that we've said tonight, I think what I'm about to say is probably the hardest of all. It is the duty of every parent to protect the heart of their child from any evil influence that surrounds them or that swarms within them. Jeremiah, the prophet, made it very clear in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Mom and dad, within your child, there is an evil that rages. It's called the heart of man. It's that old sinful nature, and it wants to destroy. It rears its ugly head in many forms. And you have to fight with your child and help them to fight, to put on the armor of God, and be able to fight against all the wiles of the devil. There are evil influences from within, but there are evil influences from without. And Proverbs 4:23 says, keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We need to protect the heart of our children from the evil influences, the sin nature within them, and those without that want to cause them to walk away from God. This is where it gets hard. Because for us as parents, that requires us to use one of the hardest words in the English language in relation to our children. It goes like this. No. But I want to. No. I want to spend time with. No. Hard word to use at times, isn't it, parents? It is. As a parent, we have a heart to give them all the things that they desire. But at times, we have to say to them, it's not in your best interest. My answer is no. That's a hard word. It's a short one, but it's a hard one. We have to be willing to say no. What makes that word so hard is that that word no at times will cause us as a family to separate ourselves from other people, even others within the church. Parents, your child's heart is more important than the offended pride of another parent. There are some people that just are not a good influence on your children.
That's just the case. I've worked with youth for over 20 years. There are certain kids that are fine by themselves. As soon as you put them with another person, the evil of that child's heart just kind of blossoms. It's like throwing Miracle-Gro on that child. There's just certain people that they just don't need to be around. And it can be as simple as they are just this far away, there to there. But as a parent, sometimes I just have to say, sorry, you can't have them as a friend in your life.
Why? Because they're no good for them. There are some other families sometimes that we just have to say, yes, we're all part of the family of God, and yes, we're all part of the church, and yes, I love them. But we don't spend a whole lot of time with them outside the church. Why? Because they're not a good influence on my children. Now here's when it hurts. We want to invite your whole family to come over. I'm sorry, we can't come. We want your child to come over and stay over at our house tonight. I'm sorry, they can't come. Folks, I'm going to offend that parent. Now try to do it as graciously as you can. But your child's heart is more important than that other pride of the parent who gets offended. It's your job to protect the heart of your child. You and I cannot surrender our convictions for convenience of relationship. And a lot of parents are doing that today. Now again, let me just pause here. I'm not asking you to be judgmental toward other people. I'm telling you, you have the responsibility to protect your own children from wrong influences. I didn't say to judge it, to go around and tell everyone how nasty or bad those kids are. I'm telling you to, as a parent, make a decision that says, that's not a good influence on my child. So let me take the next few moments as we close and talk to you about some of the influences that you need to be careful of. Again, folks, these aren't easy. But it's necessary because I have a responsibility as a parent, do I not, to train them to go in the way of the Lord. I have a responsibility to ensure that a child, as an arrow in the hands of a mighty man, hits the target that God intends for them. Their eternity and their soul is at stake. I want God's best for that child's life. And there are times influences that I need to protect my child from. What are they? Number one, at times I need to protect my child from the influence of friends. In the life of a child, this is probably the most common form of influence that comes, and that's from their peers. Teach your children what it means to be a good friend, but also teach them how to choose good and godly friends and be willing to step in when their friends bring an evil influence. You cannot say, well, that's their decision, it's their choice to make. I don't believe that. I think I need to step in at times in the life of my child and say, I'm sorry, they cannot be your friend. They're not a good influence on you spiritually. I need to teach my child what it means to be a good friend, how to help them encourage others in the ways of the Lord, and how to stand for righteousness. I need to teach them what is a good friend and how to be looking for that. But if they make a wrong choice, we can correct their mistake while they live in our home. And we have to, because I need to protect them from those who would lead them astray. There's another influence. This one gets hard. Family. All of us are linked to others through our family. Now, we would hope that our family would have the best interest for our children in mind. But folks, let's face it, that's not always the case. Sometimes some of the greatest problems that you, or the worst influence that your child will face will come from their cousins. It'll come from relatives whose parents aren't bringing their kids up the way that you are. There's not an agreement. They may be very permissive and allow an awful lot of things. And sometimes the greatest evil influence comes from the people we're closest to. Now, you can't abandon the family forever, but you can be very careful as to what time you spend with them. I remember years ago, our family is rather diverse in who's in our family. My mom grew up in a preacher's home, a congregational pastor. Some of her siblings decided not to go the same way that we have gone. So I remember going to my aunt's second marriage in a fire hall, followed by a reception which included dancing. I remember my dad looking at us and saying, "It's time to go because the party just started." And folks, I'll be honest with you, there's a guy there that was drunk within like 10 minutes, and my dad said, "No way." We didn't even stay to watch the normal, the light kind of the father bride dance. That was gone because by then it had already gotten out of hand. My dad said, "We don't need to be there. Let's go." Barely had time to eat at the reception. It was that bad. But I'm thankful he pulled us out of those things. That was our family. But they don't always have a good influence on our children. If there's a different perspective, help your child understand the different perspectives from the Word of God. Let me give you another one. Church and spiritual training. Your child will be influenced by the church or churches that they attend and the spiritual training that they give. Your child will be affected. They will be influenced by the churches that they attend and the training that they give. Now, folks, don't be fooled. Every church trains their children in one form or another. You say, they just go to another activity, but there's no training there. Yes, there is. Every church trains at every event they have because they set an example and they show their philosophy of life and ministry there, and that gets through to our kids. Be careful where you allow them to go and who has the right to train them or put thoughts concerning spiritual truths in their minds. It will make a difference. Churches and spiritual training influence your kids. We've talked a little bit about this one, but let me just hit it again. Education. At all levels of education, at all levels of schooling, there is an influence on your child's life. Teachers are given much opportunity to influence your child, and that influence is often profound and can last a lifetime. How many of you can remember the name of any teacher you had growing up, even in elementary school? Yeah. Understand the influence that they're able to have in the child's life? I can tell you the names of all of my teachers, even back from kindergarten and through. I can tell you right now the good ones, and I can tell you the bad ones. I could rate them for you tonight. Most of them were good. I went to a Christian school. I look at some of those teachers, you know what? Some of them were off their rocker back then. And sometimes the things that they influenced us with weren't always good. Education has a means of influencing your children. Be very careful what power you give that teacher in the life of your child. Do your part to make sure they are being trained by you. And folks, I say that whether it's public schooling, whether it's Christian schooling, but education has a profound influence on your child's life. Media has a way to influence your child. Music, TV, magazine, books, all have an influence on the life of your child. Parents, you need to be active in protecting them from all ungodly influences. And by the way, can I remind you from Wednesday night what it means when we talk about that which is ungodly? It's not just that which is wicked, but the word ungodliness really means that God is out of it. He's not even thought of nor considered. He's set aside. You better be careful what media your children are involved in and how that influences their lives. And folks, the problem is that media is readily available today, and too often it's secretive, it's silent. They plug in and we're tuned out. Mom and Dad, you better be proactive about the media of your children. We have a philosophy, we have a rule within our home. You're allowed to have an iPod. We've bought it from you. We own it. It is not yours. We determine what goes on it. We determine what stays on it. You're not allowed to put a password on it because it's not yours. I have the right to enter it. I have the right to look at it. I have the right to do whatever I want with it because it's mine. You say, that doesn't sound all that good. I think it's a good philosophy. I told my kids if they put a password on it and I can't get into it, I will get into it one way or the other. My way of getting into it is a heel through the front screen. I have the right to check it whenever I want. You can't tell me that's mine. You didn't buy it. It ain't yours. You don't pay for the electric that charges it. You don't pay for the iTunes. You don't pay for nothing. It's mine. I'm very protective of that media. Dad, can we watch something on TV? What? I want to know. I don't want to just sit there and not have a clue what's going on. And I don't want the silent influences. Better be proactive. Media has a huge impact and influence on our kids. By the way, Mom and Dad, if you don't know what's on those devices, I go home and find out tonight. I think I'd find out what's being channeled into their eardrums through those little white buds that get stuck in their ear. And if you don't like it, I think I'd delete everything. Because we ought to be careful of who's influencing our children. Here's the final one, home life. The atmosphere of your home is influencing your children. Is the atmosphere of your home aiding the nurturing of that child spiritually, or does it detract from it? Are the standards of your home godly or ungodly? Is God a part of your home or not? What's going on? We talked last week about what every child needs, and we talked about the security of a child being wrapped up in the fact of a father's love for their mother, a father's love for the child and discipline, and a mother's compassion for her children. Is that the atmosphere of your home? Folks, sometimes the only thing that a child sees at home is a mom and dad, a constant war. It's not an atmosphere for them to grow up and be spiritual in their mindset. They live in an atmosphere where the only thing they ever hear is a critical word. What's your home life like? Because the atmosphere of your home is influencing your child. It is a part of their thinking. Let's face it, how did you learn how to be a husband? What's your wife say to you? Man, sometimes you are just like your father. Why? Because whether they said it or not, they taught us a lot. You ever look at your spouse and go, that's just like her mom. Bless her heart. And we teach whether we're teaching or not. And the atmosphere of your home makes a difference. And you and I have to guard them against all of these influences because they're all around them and they are within them. But in the end, mom and dad, you're responsible. Personal opinion, you can disagree with me if you like,
but I would rather be this prepared than unprepared. Personal opinion. I personally believe that as a father, when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ on the day of judgment at the Bema Seat, I personally believe I'm going to give an account for how I brought up my children in the way that they should go. Because I'm accountable to him. I personally believe, by the way, that I'm going to give an account for what I did as a pastor for the years that I pastored here. I think God's going to hold me accountable for what I do. In every level of leadership that he gives me, there's an accountability. And the greatest level of leadership that he gives me is that of my own family.
So I ask you tonight, have you accepted your responsibility? Or have you given it to someone else? Who's influencing your child tonight? Is that influence good or is it evil? In the end, you're responsible for how they're influenced. And folks, the people who influence are going to help them much to determine the direction that they go. Remember, folks, destination is determined by direction. I cannot get east by going west. And if I allow everyone else around me to point my kids away from God, and that's the direction that they go into life on their own, they're not going to reach the destination of godliness. You cannot find your way to the east end by going to Deer Lake. You can't. Destination's determined by direction. Who's influencing your kids tonight? What kind of influence is it? Good or evil? And who do you think is responsible for them? Well, I think it's the child's responsible for themselves. To some degree, yes. But folks, the reality is when they don't know, they need to be trained. And God says, I've given one group to do that training. And their names are parent. Mom and dad, it's your responsibility. And let us covenant together that we will do our part to bring up a godly generation for the honor and glory of our Savior. Let's pray together tonight as we close.